As I said earlier in the service, my message today is from the road to Emmaus. I guess I'm going to call this morning my sermon title, A Journey with Jesus. When I think about this beautiful story that took place on that first Easter morning and Resurrection Day for the Lord Jesus Christ, this story really is a beautiful picture of what I believe God wants to say to each one of us. I think of the Christian life and how important it is that we see it as a journey. It has a starting place, a place where we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we make that determination that we're going to walk with God, that we're going to listen to what He says to us, and we're going to go on a journey with Jesus. I want you to think about today, if you're able to, the journey with Jesus that He wants to take with you. It's not so much a sprint, although there are some times in our relationship with God that it may seem like that. It may seem like things go so quickly, and it's kind of hard to keep up with whatever we're sensing and feeling and what God is saying to us. But more than that, I want to say that our journey with God is a long series of decisions and choices of responding to what Jesus says to us and God says to us. Luke chapter 24 tells the story of a 7-mile journey that two men took, and Jesus joined them on the way. One of those men's name was Cleopas. The other, we don't know his name, but we know that those two men encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and it was an amazing journey that they took. The story takes place, of course, on Easter Day in the afternoon, the resurrection of Jesus. Let's continue the story. We read the first part at the beginning of the service, but I want to read the rest of the story, beginning in Luke chapter 24, verse 19. Listen to the journey. What things, he asked? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, and they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Then they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is a very precious story. This is a precious story that gives us a picture of how Jesus comes along beside us to help us when we have questions. The Emmaus Road. I know that it might not be the story from the Easter reading that we always think about, but it truly is one of the amazing stories of those early hours and days of the Easter story. First of all, I will say about the story and the Emmaus Road that it was an incredible appearance. It was an incredible thing for a man that had been crucified 3 days before and had hung on a cross and had died and put in the tomb and buried 3 days later in the afternoon for a man to walk along the road to Emmaus. It was absolutely incredible. That's just, to me, one of many special events and parts of the story. The amazing power of the resurrection of Jesus and how it was that this man who had hung on a cross and had given his life was now walking along the road to Emmaus. It was there that the whole of Scripture was being opened up and explained to these two men, Cleopas and his friend. But it was here that all that had happened in Jerusalem was now beginning to have meaning. It was beginning to be explained. Jesus was drawing together the big picture of all that he had said and done, all that had been said about the Messiah in the Old Testament scriptures, all about the God of plan that we read went all the way back to the beginning of eternity when the Lamb was chosen from the beginning of the world. And so when we read the story of the road to Emmaus, we're reading that God is bringing to a culmination this whole history of the sending of Jesus to our world. On the road to Emmaus, men begin to understand what it really meant and how powerful it was. And men began to understand how all those events that Jesus had talked about and taught about was now coming together and being fulfilled. Up until the resurrection, I'm sure for those 3 days and nights, the cross didn't make any sense to anybody. It probably wasn't anybody in Jerusalem that could make sense of what happened to Jesus on the cross. But on the road to Emmaus, Jesus began to explain what the cross meant and why it was so special and so important. Here on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was weaving together all the details of who he was and why he came, and the power of his person, and what the prophecies of Scripture had said about him. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus was explaining to these two precious men who God allowed to be in this incredible place of hearing the truth and hearing what God said to them. Jesus was here explaining for them, for the first time, the big picture, pulling together all these events that had taken place and all that Jesus had told his disciples even before he went to the cross. I mean, he had talked about how he was going to die and be crucified, but they had no concept of what it meant and didn't believe it was going to happen. But on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is laying all these things out and he's saying, now, remember I told you this. You remember the prophet Joel said this. Remember Isaiah said this. All these events that took place have come together to fulfill God's incredible plan. And so Jesus was explaining, maybe comprehensively for the first time, to these two disciples that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the Savior of Israel. He was the Savior of the world. He was the one that the Almighty, infinite God had sent in order to take away the sins of mankind. Even that alone to me is worth celebrating and getting excited about and saying, praise God for the message on the Emmaus Road, that Jesus is the one that takes away the sins of the world. It was there that Jesus explained. He laid it out for those two men to put it all together and bring it all together. All those pieces of the story were being brought together on the Emmaus Road. I believe that's the beginning place of that. Then they went back and told the disciples, and they began to understand. And then Jesus appeared to him, and the events that took place then leading up to Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit coming and giving strength to the church to tell the story, to tell the things that Jesus talked about on the road to Emmaus. And for these two men, Cleopas and this other man, it was all starting to make sense. Look at verse 21 and listen to the words of what they had been talking about and what they had been feeling in their heart and desiring. Verse 21 says this, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. You see, they confessed to Jesus, not knowing it was him at the time. They said, but all this stuff that we're thinking about and the fact that the Jews took this great prophet and they murdered him and all this, the chief priest, and they sentenced him to death and they crucified him, and they said, but that's not what we thought was going to happen. That's not what we hoped deep within was going to happen. We hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Sometimes people think about Jesus and they don't think long enough and they don't give him enough time. They really don't hear who he is and what his message is and what his mission is and what his person is. And they kind of come to the same place of verse 21. They have a hope that he's the one, but they never go any further. They never realize the power of who the Messiah is. I want to say to you, that word Messiah is precious. Of course, Messiah means Christ. And so you use those two words. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. It means Jesus is the one chosen of God to take away the sins of the world. Things had fallen apart for these two men. Jesus had been crucified and they did not understand. And here on the road to Emmaus, this man walks up to them and starts talking to them. And they explain, well, don't you even know what's happened in Jerusalem? And Jesus kind of plays like he doesn't know anything that's going on. And well, what happened? And they tell the story. And then Jesus begins to connect the dots to all the events that they had heard and seen about. Jesus begins in verse 32 to bring together all those things that bother him. Verse 32 says, they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture? I just imagine as Jesus was beginning to talk about the prophecies of the Old Testament, maybe he began to talk about the arrest. Maybe he began to talk about the injustices of the Jewish leaders and about Pilate and talking about what the Old Testament prophet said. And then he began to kind of weave them together that this man must have been exactly what was foretold for the Messiah. And for them, I just imagine it like this. I mean, this is just imagination here. I just imagine that Jesus has taken his pencil and he's going from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. And he just drawing a picture of the cross and the Messiah and the plan of God and the power of God to forgive sins and bring salvation to the world. And as Jesus is drawing symbolically that story of the cross, these two men's hearts where it says burning inside of them. Oh, they were feeling something on the inside of who God was and the power of what had happened in Jerusalem that they had not understood. They certainly did not understand the death of this good man. And now as Jesus is beginning to fill in the dots and go from line to line, they're starting to be piqued of interest in their heart and saying, maybe he is the one. Maybe he is the one that is saving the world from their sins. And as Jesus fills in around those things, it says in this verse, their hearts were burning. Oh, our hearts were burning within while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scripture. You see, there are several things going on. Number one was just the amazing wisdom of what this man was saying and how true it felt to them, how truly it seemed to them, and they sensed the truth of it. The Holy Spirit, I'm sure, was applying it to their hearts, and their hearts were burning within them while he talked to them. And then on the other hand, you had Jesus and his great insight and wisdom into human character and how he was able to understand. Excuse me, please. He was able to understand what was going on inside the hearts of these two men. He understood their disappointment. He understood that they had hoped it was going to be something. Jesus understood all about them, and he began to weave and tell the story in a way that, wow, their hearts were opened. They were burning. Their minds were open. Jesus was laying out God's eternal plan, and maybe for the first time, it was all coming together inside the heart and the mind of a man, Cleopas and his friend. They were in that very special place where God had brought this revelation. I want to say to you today that God reveals himself as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. that He is the one that can take away our sins. And He is the one, when we put our faith and our trust in Him, that can take our lives and take our choices and take our past, and we give it to them, He can change us completely. What a precious picture this is. It says in verse 27, you go back to that verse, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself." Jesus went all the way back there and began to talk about how God had chosen Moses to go and bring His people out of slavery. Again, a picture of God bringing us out of sin. And He began to explain with Moses and the history of the Israelites, and then each one of the prophets, and how they fit into the overall coming revelation of Jesus as the Messiah and Son of God. Can you imagine all the time and everything Jesus said? It was just truth to them. And as they heard what Jesus said, it burned in their hearts. God's truth burns in our hearts when we're open to what He says and we're responsive to Him. There was a burning inside of them. That 7-mile walk, however many miles Jesus was with them, can you imagine what these two men were going through? Number one, I mean, it's true that these men already had some knowledge. I mean, they knew about some of the events that had taken place. They knew some of the prophecies, but yet putting it all together, they didn't have that. They didn't know it. And so they became deeply disappointed and confused. And I'm thinking how life can be that way. Sometimes we think we're sailing along and we think maybe we got things all figured out. Some people might even feel sometimes, you know, I got the world by the tail. Sometimes all of a sudden it can come crashing down. I think of these two men and how it all came crashing down. Life can be that way. But when you feel that way, I want to say to you that you're not alone. Sometimes life will do that to you. Sometimes the enemy of your soul will try to find something to completely cause you to crash. I've said so many times before, Jesus or Satan has a hook for every one of us. No matter who you are today, how young you are, how old you are, Satan has a place that he's trying to hook you and deceive you and pull you away from the truth of the Messiah. See, if Satan can cause you not to understand who the Messiah is, then he's got your soul. So I want to say to you today, let your heart be burning with who Jesus is, the power of who he is. These men were disappointed. They were confused. But I'll say one other thing for them. They were passionate. They were passionate. They were genuine. They were hungry. They wanted to connect to God. And I want to say to you today, if you want to connect to God, God will connect with you. They had a deep desire down on the inside. And truly, their faith was being tested. I mean, we know that Jesus had to know they were on that road. And the main thing that I think about when I consider that and I read that verse is, Jesus came to them where they were. If you have doubts, if you feel confused, if you're not sure what to make of who Jesus is, I want you to know, if you open your heart, Jesus will come to you and he will speak to your heart and your life. Jesus came to right where they were. He already knew, but as they explained their confusion, Jesus just let them talk. I notice, you know, I don't know how condensed the description is here. And I don't know if this took 3 minutes or 30 minutes. It's probably a 2-hour walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But Jesus let them talk till they were done. I want you to know that when you're confused and you don't understand, God is able to listen to you. He is able to hear what you feel. Even if it's bad. Even if your doubts are strong, even if you feel angry, even if you feel hurt, I want to say to you that Jesus is able to listen to where you're at. He is a mighty, mighty Messiah. And Jesus came to them. I kind of feel like that's for me, and at least this week as I've read this story and thought, this is the key verse for me. Jesus came to them. He knew them. He knew what they were thinking. Jesus was not surprised by their questions. Jesus knows what we are thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're afraid. He knows where you have anxiety. He knows what's going to be ahead for you. He knows the challenges. He knows the pain that will be there for many of you in different ways. He knew where these men were, and he came right to them. In fact, Jesus knows everything about us. He knows our doubts. He knows our fears. He knows our questions. He knows our confusion. And he will come to us, every one of us. I see that when Jesus was at the table with them, it says in verse 30, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened. That's another beautiful part of this story. All the way to Emmaus, they just didn't catch it. Jesus was the one talking. But when he sat down there, I'd imagine they sat at a table. I don't know, they might have been different than that. But as they sat down and ate, and Jesus broke the bread, the symbolism of the breaking of the bread, that's a powerful picture too of Jesus breaking the bread. His body was broken for us. But when he was at the table with them, he broke the bread. And then they saw who he was. They were hungry and they ate. But more importantly, these men were hungry spiritually. And they urgently wanted Jesus to stay with them. In verse 29, it said, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When I read this verse 2, it just makes me think about the word that's found in verse 29. They stay with us. The NIV has it translated, stay with us. And I read a little bit about this verse, and it's really a beautiful verse. They use the same word that Jesus used in John chapter 15 when Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Abide in me. That's the word, abide. I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. It's the same word that Cleopas used on the road when he said to Jesus, Jesus, please don't go on. Please wait. Please come and stay with us. There's something about this story that just, it's beautiful. Jesus, stay with me. I want you that bad. I desire you in truth that much. Stay with me. Reminds me of a song that's in our hymn book. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. Somehow, God understands the need that we have for him to abide deep in our hearts. This story reminds me that Jesus knows that need. And today I want you to know that same Jesus will abide with you, will stay with you, and be close to you. I believe that God today, even in this story, wants to say to each one of us, open your heart and your mind, as these two men did on the road to Emmaus. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to answer your questions. I want to bring my peace. I want to give you my comfort. I want you to know my presence. I'm thankful today that Jesus on the road to Emmaus stayed with you. with these men and met their need, and that same Jesus wants to help us and to meet our need today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of the road to Emmaus. I thank you that you are a God that is the Messiah, the giver of life, the one who died for our sins, the one who understands our needs, the one who reaches out where we're at, and the one who understands the need to abide, and how, God, we need to be close to you, and all of us need to have a desire deep within to be connected to you, more so than just in a way that says we know with our minds, but God, that we burn in our hearts. That we burn in our hearts, God. I pray that we would have burning hearts for you that would help us to sense your closeness when we have questions and when we're afraid and when we hurt, that we would know that there's a Jesus on the road to Emmaus that desires to speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.